Bottom of page 227. The suitors now aimed a second time, but again Athena made their weapons for the most part without effect. They still have bad aim. One hit a bearing post of the cloister, another went against the door, while the pointed shaft of a third struck the wall. Still, Amphimedon just took a piece of the top skin from off Telemachus's wrist, and Ctesippus managed to graze Eumaeus's shoulder above his shield. But the spear went on and fell to the ground. In other words, two of them at least, like, scratched the good guys, but not enough to really harm them. Then Odysseus and his men let drive into the crowd of suitors. Odysseus hit Eurydamas, Telemachus Amphimedon, and Eumaeus Polybus. After this, the stockman hit Ctesippus in the breast and taunted him, saying, "You foul-mouthed son of Polytherses, do not be so foolish as to talk wickedly another time. But let heaven direct your speech, for the gods are far stronger than men. I make you a present of this advice to repay you for the foot which you gave Odysseus when he was begging about in his own house." Remember Antinous threw a chair at Odysseus in disguise? Another guy kicked him, like, I guess, in the butt. Another guy kicked him when he was disguised as an old man. Thus spoke the stockman, and Odysseus struck the son of Damastor with a spear in close fight, while Telemachus hit Leocritus, son of Evenor, in the belly, and the dart went clean through him, so that he fell forward, full on his face upon the ground. Then Athena, from her seat on the rafter, held up her deadly aegis, and the hearts of the suitors quailed. Did I have an Athena in here? Yeah, did you study the aegis? Do you remember?
Okay. Isn't it her spear?
No, it's like her shield. Okay, and guys, you have to kind of try to picture this in your heads. I can tell you how I picture it, but it's a little bit silly. Somehow, from up on top of the rafters, Athena, disguised as a bird, makes visible her aegis, her shield thing, her symbol. And in my head, I picture kind of like a hologram. I don't know how it is, really. But somehow, with her magic, she makes this thing appear.
Like the Batman symbol. Like,
yeah, that's how I picture it. I don't know how it is, really. Picture it in your heads however you like. But the effect is, okay, like when Zeus made thunder sound, and that was like, oh, everyone's, oh, that's a bad sign. That means something bad's coming. When the suitors see this shield, this aegis, that's what they're thinking. Oh, snap, that was Athena. We're really in for it. Okay? Yeah.
Isn't it like the head of Medusa?
No, that's...
I don't think so.
Yeah. No,
I would have to do my research. I got to be honest, I don't remember. My notes on my book just say it's her great shield. Okay, so the suitors fled to the other end of the court like a herd of cattle maddened by the gladfly in early summer when the days are at their longest. As eagle-beaked, crook-talon vultures from the mountains swoop down on the smaller birds that cower in flocks upon the ground and kill them, for they cannot either fight or fly, and lookers-on enjoy this sport, even so did Odysseus and his men fall upon the suitors and smite them on every side. They made a horrible groaning as their brains were being battered in, and the ground seethed with their blood. You get this comparison here? Odysseus and his guys are like vultures swooping down on the suitors. It's like mass destruction. The suitors don't stand a chance. Leodes. All right, refresh my memory. Who's my member? My memory. Who's Leodes? Nope, that's Laertes.
Isn't he a suitor?
He is one of the suitors. He was the first, well, second after Telemachus to try to string the bow. Remember, he was the sacrificing priest? He was the one who said, well, I knew these suitors were doing something bad, but I wasn't really tough enough to stop them. Leodes then caught the knees of Odysseus. By catch the knees, it basically means he falls down, grabs Odysseus' knees, kind of like he's begging, like he's praying for mercy. Caught the knees of Odysseus and said, "Odysseus, I beseech you, I pray you, have mercy upon me and spare me. I never wronged any of the women in your house, either in word or in deed. And I tried to stop the others. I saw them, but they would not listen. And now they are paying for their folly. I was their sacrificing priest. If you kill me, I shall die without having done anything to deserve it, and shall have gotten no thanks for all the good that I did." He's praying for his life. What do you think Odysseus is going to say? Give me a thumbs up, thumbs down. Not sure in between.
I think he said, "Sorry, bro."
Several of you aren't voting. It's kind of a mixture. Let's find out. Odysseus looked sternly at him and answered, If you were their sacrificing priest, you must have prayed many a time that it might be long before I got home again, and that you might marry my wife and have children by her. Therefore, you shall die. With these words, he picked up the sword that Agelaus had dropped when he was being killed, and which was lying upon the ground. Then he struck Leodes on the back of his neck, so that his head fell rolling in the dust while he was yet speaking.
Ew.
Right? Head chopped off? That's a big thumbs down. The minstrel, Phemius. You guys know what a minstrel is? He's like a musician. Okay, remember, after dinner, they can't go turn on the TV. So for entertainment, someone sings songs and performs. That's what the minstrel is. The minstrel Phemius, son of Terpes, he who had been forced by the suitors to sing to them. Oh, so he wasn't there willingly, forced to sing. Now tried to save his life. He was standing near towards the trap door and held his lyre in his hand. He did not know whether to fly out of the cloister and sit down by the altar of Zeus that was in the outer court, and on which both Laertes and Odysseus had offered up the thigh bones of many an ox, or whether he should go straight up to Odysseus and embrace his knees. But in the end, he deemed it best to embrace Odysseus's knees. So he laid his lyre on the ground between the mixing bowl and the silver-studded seat. Then, going up to Odysseus, he caught hold of his knees and said, "Odysseus, I beseech you, have mercy on me and spare me. You will be sorry for it afterwards if you kill a bard who can sing both for gods and men as I can. I make all my lays myself, and heaven visits me with every kind of inspiration. I would sing to you as though you were a god. Do not therefore be in such a hurry to cut my head off. Your own son Telemachus will tell you that I did not want to frequent your house and sing to the suitors after their meals, but there were too many of them and too strong for me, so they made me." Telemachus heard this, and at once went up to his father. "Hold," he cried, "this man is guiltless. Do him no harm, and we will spare Medon, too, who was always good to me when I was a boy, unless Philoetius or Eumaeus has already killed him, or he has fallen in your way when you were raging about the court." Medon heard these words of Telemachus, for he was crouching under a seat beneath which he had hidden by covering himself up with a freshly flayed heifer's hide. So he threw off the hide, went up to Telemachus, and laid hold of his knees. "Here I am, dear sir," he said. "Stay your hand, therefore. Tell your father he will kill me in his rage against the suitors for having wasted his substance and been so foolishly disrespectful to yourself." Two more guys begging to be spared. What do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down? All right. I won't say it out loud. Keep it in mind. Odysseus smiled at him and answered, "Fear not, Telemachus. Fear not. Telemachus has saved your life, that you may know in future and tell other people how greatly better good deeds prosper than evil ones. Go, therefore, outside the cloisters into the outer court and be out of the way of the slaughter, you and the bard, while I finish my work here inside." Thumbs up wins. He does spare them. And it's meant to be a lesson. Remember, way back in the beginning, we said mythology often teaches a lesson on how to behave. And the lesson here is, if you're a good guy, you'll be rewarded. You won't be killed. But if you're a bad guy, forget it. So be a good guy. The pair went into the outer court as fast as they could and sat down by Zeus's great altar, looking fearfully round and still expecting that they would be killed. Then Odysseus searched the whole court carefully over to see if anyone had managed to hide himself and was still living, but he found them all lying in the dust and weltering in their blood. They were like fishes which fishermen have netted out of the sea and thrown upon the beach to lie gasping for water till the heat of the sun makes an end of them. Even so were the suitors lying all huddled up, one against the other. In other words, everyone died. Done. Gone. Except for the two that he spared. That's true. And except for someone hanging from the rafters. Remember? Then Odysseus said to Telemachus, "Call Nurse Euryclea. I have something to say to her." Remember, Euryclea is the old servant who had taken care of Odysseus as a young boy, the one who locked the women away. Telemachus went on and knocked at the door of the women's room. "Make haste," he said, "you old woman who have been set over all the other women in the house. Come outside. My father wishes to speak to you." When Euryclea heard this, she unfastened the door of the women's room and came out, following Telemachus. She found Odysseus among the corpses, bespattered with blood and filth, top of 230, like a lion that has just been devouring an ox, and his breast and both cheeks are all bloody, so that he is a fearful sight. Even so was Odysseus besmirched from head to foot with gore. Epic simile, right? a long, drawn-out simile. He's like a lion that's been eating and devouring things because he's all, like, dirty and bloody and yucky. When she saw all the corpses and such a quantity of blood, she was beginning to cry out for joy, for she saw that a great deed had been done. But Odysseus checked her. He stopped her. "Old woman," he said, "rejoice in silence. Restrain yourself and do not make any noise about it. It is an unholy thing to vaunt over dead men. Heaven's doom and their own evil deeds have brought these men to destruction, for they respected no man in the whole world, neither rich nor poor, who came near them. And they have come to a bad end as punishment for their wickedness and folly. Now, however, tell me which one of the women in the house have misconducted themselves and who are innocent. Eurycleia wants to celebrate. Woohoo! The bad guys are dead. And he says, no, it's disrespectful. You don't cheer over the dead. Okay? The reason they're dead is because they made mistakes. They made bad choices. But we don't celebrate it. And then furthermore, he says, okay, the women, which one of them was loyal to me and which of them were loyal to the suitors? I will tell you the truth, my son. She's not his mother. It's just like an affectionate term. There are 50 women in the house whom we teach to do things, such as carding wool and all kinds of household work. Of these 50, 12 in all have misbehaved and have been wanting in respect to me and also to Penelope. They showed no disrespect to Telemachus, for he has only lately grown and his mother never permitted him to give orders to the female servants. But let me go upstairs and tell your wife all that has happened, for some god has been sending her to sleep. Remember Penelope sleeping through the whole thing? Do not wake her yet, said Odysseus, but tell the women who have misconducted themselves to come to me. So the 12 women who have been disrespectful and bad and been hanging out with the suitors, they need to go to Odysseus. Eurycleia left the cloister to tell the women and make them come to Odysseus. In the meantime, he called Telemachus, the stockman, and the swineherd. Begin, he said, to remove the dead bodies and make the women help you. Then get sponges and clean water to swill down the tables and seats. When you have thoroughly cleansed the whole cloisters, take the women into the space between the domed room and the wall of the outer court, and run them through with your swords till they are quite dead, and have forgotten all about love and the way in which they used to lie in secret with the suitors. On this, the 12 women came down, weeping and wailing bitterly. First they carried out the dead bodies and propped them up against each other in the gatehouse. Odysseus ordered them about and made them do their work quickly, so they had to carry the bodies out. When they had done this, they cleaned all the tables and seats with sponges and water, while Telemachus and the two others shoveled up the blood and dirt from the ground, and the women carried it all away and put it out of doors. Then, when they had made the whole place quite clean and orderly, they took the women out and hemmed them in the narrow space between the wall of the domed room and that of the yard, so that they could not get away. Telemachus said to the other two, I shall not let these women die a clean death, for they were insolent to me and my mother, and used to sleep with the suitors. So saying, he made a ship's cable fast to one of the bearing posts that supported the roof of the domed room, and secured it all around the building, at a good height, lest any of the women's feet should touch the ground. And as thrushes or doves beat against a net that has been set for them in a thicket just as they were getting to their nest, and a terrible fate awaits them, even so did the women have to put their heads in nooses, one after the other, and die most miserably. Their feet moved convulsively for a while, but not for very long. So they're forced to clean up, drag out the dead bodies, and after they're cleaned up, after they've cleaned up, Telemachus says no, killing them with a sword is too good for them. What happens?
They hang them.
Yeah. And it's very cruel indeed. Okay. As for Melanthius, remember our friend Melanthius with the lard and the fire hanging from the rafters? They took him through the cloister into the inner court. There, they cut off his nose and his ears. They drew out his vital organs and gave them to the dogs to eat raw. Then, in their fury, they cut off his hands and his feet. When they had done all this, they washed their hands and feet and went back into the house, for all was now over. So, was Melanthius' torture done when he was hanging from the rafters?
No.
No, that's pretty gory, right?
He died, didn't he?
I mean, what?
Didn't he basically
die? Oh, yeah, I'm sure he died before they were done with all that list, yeah. Yeah, the whole taking out the vital organs, I think, would have...
Yeah, that might be...
Yeah, I think that would have sealed the deal. So, again, the moral, should you cheat? Should you be disloyal?
No.
Absolutely not. Odysseus said to the dear old nurse Eurycleia, Bring me sulfur, which cleanses all pollution, and fetch fire also, that I may burn it and purify the cloisters. Go, moreover, and tell Penelope to come here with her attendants, and also all the maidservants that are in the house. All that you have said is true, said Euryclea, but let me bring you some clean clothes, a shirt and a cloak. Do not keep these rags on your back any longer. It's not right. First, light me a fire, replied Odysseus. She's concerned with his appearance, how like bloody and gory and dressed in rags he is. She wants him to clean up and get changed. And he's concerned with his home still. He cleaned out, and by cleaned out, killed all of the suitors. He dragged out the bodies, but he still wants to purify the home. She brought the fire and the sulfur as he had bidden her, and Odysseus thoroughly purified the cloisters and both the inner and outer courts. Then Euryclea went inside to call the women and tell them what had happened, whereon they came from their apartment with torches in their hands and pressed round Odysseus to embrace him, kissing his head and shoulders and taking hold of his hands. It made him feel as if he should like to weep, for he remembered every one of them. So, nice little reunion with the servants. What's left? Yeah.